is Leitner versus Shoemaker.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. For the record, I'm Ken Masters representing the appellant, George Leitner. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes. The issue in this case is whether the trial court committed legal error by interpreting the Birch Bay Village covenants solely to protect the natural growth of trees to the exclusion of protecting the beautiful views that my client's property enjoy. The trial court ruled that Covenant 8H was ambiguous, and then limited the owner's intent to a sentence fragment about natural growth, and despite his stated desire, the trial court's stated desire, to grant us relief, believed that he was not, quotes, empowered, close quotes, to grant relief because he was, quotes, required, close quotes, to read the covenants in this manner. In doing so, the trial court misapplied black letter law. It was required to place a special emphasis on arriving at an interpretation that protects the homeowner's collective interests. It is not a tenable reading of these covenants to suggest that despite the numerous restrictions on heights of houses, plants, and trees, nonetheless, the glorious views remain unprotected. Simply put, the court erred in ruling, contrary to this court's decisions in Foster and Lakes, that the absence of the word view in the covenants means that the views are unprotected. The trial court's unchallenged rulings strongly support us in this case. The court found that the covenants apply, that the defendants knew about them, that the Leitner property enjoys these beautiful views, that when we purchased the property, we knew and relied on those covenants to protect the views.
How do you reconcile your argument with the first sentence of paragraph 8H? And the first sentence reads, no trees or natural shrubbery shall be removed unless approved in writing by the Architectural Control and Maintenance Committee, it being the intention to preserve natural growth in accordance with the owner's plan of development.
Yeah, so the first sentence talks about removal of trees and shrubs.
Right.
That's all it talks about.
Well, but you have to read it in the context of the whole sentence, which is the intention to preserve natural growth.
Right. And we don't deny that you may not remove trees or shrubs because it was the intent to preserve it. Of course, not never. It says unless the architectural committee.
Right. No, the architectural, so not, and that's true of the second clause too, which is. But the architectural committee could have weighed in here, and you wouldn't be here.
Right, and then the covenants provide that if they refuse to weigh in, then we can bring this suit.
Then you can be here, right.
So if you look at that second sentence, what it says is that no trees, hedges of any kind whatsoever in excess of 6 feet shall be placed, planted, or maintained. So the first paragraph talks about removing natural growth, and it's clear that the intent was Let's preserve that natural growth
right.
if we can't.
Right.
If we can't, of course, you can remove it. The second sentence is talking about maintaining it at a height. The first sentence says nothing about height. It just says don't remove the trees. Don't remove the natural growth.
You're reading then that the second sentence would require that every tree that is greater than 6 feet in height be cut to 6 feet?
I think that because the permission of the Architectural Control Committee was included in both provisions, it was clear that the intent was to allow the Architectural Control Committee to make reasonable decisions about these things. And it, of course, there's also then the Architectural Control.
Well, Council, stop there for a minute.
Sure.
You, in fact, both parties seem to completely ignore the last clause of the first sentence, in accordance with the owner's plan of development.
Right.
That's and a limitation on the removal of natural growth. Where's the evidence of what the plan of development was?
Well, you know, I haven't ignored it, Your Honor. I thought that with that, I read that to mean that that obviously they removed lots of trees when they did the development. the plan itself.
It says there's a plan. If all he wanted to do was preserve natural trees, there was absolutely no reason for that clause to be in the covenant.
There does not appear to be in the record a document that's a plan of development.
I think that's correct, but I think that the plan of development is what was what the development is. They obviously moved a lot of trees and removed a lot of trees.
Was there a written plan that just didn't make its way to the courthouse?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. It's not in the record. But we're not asking for removal of any trees, so our point is the first sentence doesn't apply. We're not asking for removal of trees. We think the second sentence is controlling, and that because of the provisions for the Architectural Control Committee to make decisions on this, they can make reasoned decisions, and that's what their rules have always said. This first one goes back to 1999. Trees or shrubs that infringe upon neighbors' views should be reduced or removed. The second one is the 2010 one, and that last sentence says, lot owners should keep their trees and shrubs trimmed, limbed, or topped so as not to infringe upon neighbors' view.
Yeah, but back to 8H.
Yeah.
The language of 8H states that no trees, hedges, or shrubbery or planting of any kind whatsoever in excess of 6 feet shall be placed, planted, or maintained. So you're relying on the maintain part of that because obviously the natural shrubbery would, or naturally growing trees would not have been placed or planted.
You basically have to change the planted to an and or take it out, the or, before maintained, in order to do what the trial court did. It's or maintained. So these are alternatives. You can't do any one of these three things. And they're in the alternative. The trial court instead read it to say, that's only planted trees. Well, it says no trees, hedges, or shrubbery, or plantings of any kind whatsoever. So it's not limited to natural trees. It's not limited at all. And it's not limited to planted trees either. It's no trees of any kind whatsoever. So we do believe that the covenants anticipated that the architectural control may, and if not them, then the judge, could make a reasoned decision to require preservation of views without cutting all the trees down to 6 feet. I recognize that. Thank you, Your Honor. And I will stop for now and preserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Valerie Villison for the respondents, Chad and Billy Shoemaker. I'm just going to put up that. That's the actual section of the covenants. And the reason I put this up is because council has broken them out into two sections, almost treating them that they're two separate segments. But if you look at it as a whole, we are talking about what the owner's plan of development is. And your honors asked what the owner's plan of development is. And I think it's clear from that. It is to preserve natural growth. And that is what trees are naturally occurring in that area.
You're also ignoring in accordance with the owner's plan of development.
But I believe the plan of development in part was to preserve natural growth, which is why they limited planted or placed trees. They didn't want foreign or non-native trees dominating the landscape. That's why they wanted to limit them to 6 feet.
And the testimony doesn't go to that.
I think the testimony said.
You're speculating. That's off record.
Because we don't know what the owner's plan. I mean, you're right. There is no separate document showing the owner's plan of development. But I think if you can look at that, what we do know is that it would make no sense if we were trying to preserve natural growth to allow to keep trees at 6 feet. 6 feet's not that tall at all.
I'm trying to get you to focus on whether or not there's a distinction between trees and shrubs and natural areas that were preserved as part of the plat under a plan, since he took the trouble to reference a plan in the covenant, and those that may occur naturally or artificially later.
Well, again, I think the distinction here is those trees that were going to be arrive later, the planted in place trees, that's where they wanted to keep the limitation. They didn't want to limit what trees were naturally occurring because if you exhibits 26
through
29.
When you say naturally occurring, are you talking about trees that naturally germinate on the property after the recording of the covenants as well?
Correct. Those trees that are native to the.
So a tree could start tomorrow as a seedling and could grow to 100 feet under your interpretation of the covenants, and absent intervention by the architectural committee, the upland owner couldn't do anything about it.
Yes. I mean, the only thing we know from this is we wanted to preserve what was naturally growing.
And at the time.
At the
Well, but at the time is different than a tree that would sprout up after the covenants were adopted.
Well, and I think that was part of the village's concern in terms of enforcement, because you can't keep track of all these trees. But what they can keep track of is those that are placed and planted, that they can see that were placed and planted, as opposed to naturally occurring.
But don't we know from this record that none of the trees that are being debated here are old enough to have been there in 64 when the covenants were entered? I think we do. Were those lots, is there evidence in the record whether those lots were cleared of trees and shrubs in the 60s when they were basically all sold right before the covenants transferred this to the Homeowners Association?
No, there's no evidence of that. But what we do know that at least when Mr. Leitner purchased this property, two of the cedar trees, one that was on the border of the Shoemaker and the Leitner property and one that was on the Leitner property, was already over 40 feet tall. And if, based on his interpretation of the covenants, he would have been required to lock that tree down to 6 feet, and he didn't.
Yeah, well, the court found the covenants not waived, so we're right back to what does the covenant mean?
Well, and I think the way you can look at what it means is also the way it's been interpreted under the architectural rules and regulations. We're not saying that created a view right, because it didn't. All it said is, you know, when it came to the trees and the height of the trees, you're supposed to use good neighbor, you know, good judgment, good reason, good conscience. There was no requirement. There's nothing in either the covenants or the architectural rules and regulations that says these trees were intended, the height restrictions on these trees were intended to protect views.
How does a court administer a good conscience, good neighbor rule?
Well, I think if you look at the architectural rules and regulations, it's whatever the neighbors can agree on.
So that means if you get a jerk that moves into the neighborhood, you've got nothing.
Right, because there is no right to a view. There's no right to a view in the covenants. Ash and Collingsworth say there is no common law right to a view.
With a common law situation here. Were these lots marketed as being view properties?
It's not in the record. Mr. Leitner did testify that when he bought the property, he had these beautiful views, and that was the reason he bought it. But we also have...
Did the trial court make findings about his expectations with respect to those views? What findings did the trial court make?
Well, the trial court found that Mr. Leitner had these views, and he expected that these views would remain based on his reading of the covenant.
Did the trial court make any finding as to the reasonableness of that expectation?
I don't believe so, because I think the reason is because the trial court found that the covenants didn't guarantee him a view. Nowhere in the covenants.
It may not guarantee a view, right, but I think when you state that it wasn't there to protect views, probably overstates the circumstance. It's hard to envision a reason to limit all the vegetation to 6 feet in height when the houses are taller than that, other than to protect views.
No, I think that one way of viewing it is, again, it was to keep naturally occurring trees, which were the cedar trees that were growing, which were the western cedar trees that apparently were the point of contention. And those trees can grow up, but it's these foreign native trees that people would, you know, plant, such as the arborvitae, that they complained about.
Again, that's not supported by the record relative to the covenant writer's intent.
Well, I think the only intent we have from the covenant writer is to preserve natural growth. And those are the naturally occurring trees that the trial court found.
So do we have any extrinsic evidence to assist us interpreting this language?
I think the best, well, the only extrinsic, well, we've got the evidence of what the covenant says. You can also look at the architectural rules and see that they did not use anything that says there's...
Okay, the rules that we've been shown are all of fairly recent vintage. They don't seem to date from contemporaneous with the adoption of the covenants. Were there rules adopted within 5 years of the recording of the covenants?
not that were made part of this record, and I would say it was a Leitner's burden to prove that. I mean, the covenants refer to articles of incorporation and bylaws. That's not made part of the record. So,
was the plat made part of the record? Was there any preservation of community areas or common areas or wooded buffers or other things that are demonstrated in that plat or the development plan?
No. There was a, we have a picture of like just an overview of the area itself, but nothing that showed that this was what the intended.
You have an aerial photograph from?
Yes, I believe that's, no. Actually, no, it's a current vintage. It's Exhibit 30. So since we don't know, we have to rely on what we do have, which is this, that, again, doesn't protect views. And, again, there are reasons you might have height restrictions other than protecting views. This court's decision in Day versus Senator Sola, there was an issue as to whether or not the building height was whether or not that was intended for view protection, and this court said it wasn't. That if the covenant, if it was intended to protect views, the covenant should have said so. And the way that it could be interpreted, and it was interpreted, was it was just to prevent essentially gaudy McMansions. It wasn't intended to protect views.
And does it protect against gaudy mansions?
Oh, I was referring to Day versus Sandra Sola, the reason why they were.
You're not suggesting this had that.
No. I think what they were trying to protect against was, you know, non-native trees dominating the landscape because they wanted.
The covenants in that case were much different.
They were different. And I think the distinction there is because there was also another section of the covenants that was referring to view restrictions. But here there's nothing in here that refers to view preservation. And I'd also, I'd point out that I think the way that the village has interpreted this was to just make it a good neighbor policy, that there could be no requirement because the covenants didn't allow a requirement to have naturally growing trees, naturally occurring trees, be limited to 6 feet. If it was mandatory, they could have used that language because they did. If you look at the architectural rules and regulations, section 10.4, when they talk about views, they say you should limit the trees if it's going to.
Well, the rule has two mandates, and the committee is the safety valve that says we can make an exception. They don't apply.
Well, I just wanted to point out, under the rules, there is a mandate. If trees are causing a safety hazard, then the lot owners must correct it, must trim the trees, must, prune them. But that's not the language they use for view infringement. It should.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
So, Your Honor, the closest we get is Exhibit 32, which is 1999, in terms of contemporaneous. These were 1966, so it's pretty good space. But no, we don't have the plan. I would suggest that the covenants themselves evidence a plan of development. It is not the plan of development itself, but they show that there was an intent to limit height of houses to 18 feet. And an intent to limit the height of trees to 6 feet.
Only if we read maintain the way you want it.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any other way to read it with an or in there. If you put an and in there, you're changing the meaning of the phrase. I think you also have.
Is there some rule of interpretation that you're relying on for your
just
interpretation
the meaning of the
that
word
sentence?
Or?
Just
as an alternative. It's in the alternative.
Well, it's anomalous that someone who's selling wooded lots that have 40-foot cedar trees on them would give somebody the right to require them to be cut to 6 feet.
Actually, that's not the evidence here. When my client bought in 1984, it was absolutely a clear view, and the trial court made a finding of that. It was
but we're talking about beautiful trees.
There were two trees on the corner.
That were more than 6 feet tall?
And they were cut up. Yes, there were trees, many trees that were more than 6 feet tall. I'd have to concede that.
It strikes me as odd that at the time these covenants were recorded, a majority of the lots had been sold, and that all of a sudden someone would have the right to cut every evergreen or cedar in the area to 6 feet and to demand that everyone else do the same.
And that's why we're not asking for it.
But doesn't your meaning or interpretation of the covenants create that result?
Not at all.
Why not?
Not at all. Because it is a rule of reason. The thing actually says that. So it is, you may not remove natural growth, okay, period, and you may not maintain any plant tree over without permission. The whole point is that, yes, they're going to preserve the natural growth. Yes, there's going to be trees that are grandfathered in. Yes, the ACC can give permission for those 40-foot tall trees to exist. And that is very likely what they would have done if anyone had ever asked them to cut down those trees.
The lie so, by the evidence that when the architectural committee is asked to get involved, it basically punts and says, be good neighbors, and if you can't be good neighbors, let the court decide it?
That's not what they always said. They obviously didn't want to be dragged into this dispute, but trees and shrubs that, this is 2009, infringe the neighbor's views should be reduced or removed. So they didn't always do this.
Yes, they shall, though.
But it doesn't really matter, Your Honor, because what the covenants say is that we are permitted to sue and come to court if specifically because the Architectural Control Committee fails to act. So the covenants themselves anticipate that the Architectural Control Committee will fail to act and that we should be able to go to court and ask for a reasonable reading of these. So we ask you to reverse and remand. Thank you.